Hi, I'm Josh.
I'm Austin.
I'm Justin.
Hey guys, have you seen, God, I just dropped the title. It's like, it's long. Blue. Oh, fuck, one sec. It's a Blue's Clues movie. It's the second one.
Haven't seen the first one.
Blue's Big City Adventure.
You want to do a
Have you
take
seen
two on that, or do you feel comfortable running?
No, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Have you keep all this in? Have you? Have you
Oh
seen Blue's Big City Adventure?
man. This is an
No.
omen of failure.
2022.
No, no one
Who's
in the
this?
goddamn world has seen this movie,
I've
Josh.
seen it.
Now, I know you went out of your way to see this. This wasn't a theatrical re release, so
Correct.
how'd you see this?
The internet was a direct to, I think it was Paramount, was
Were
it?
you a
Yeah,
big
Paramount
fan?
Police. Paramount Plus made
Were
it.
you a big fan of Blue's Clues, so you sought it out?
Yes, actually. I
Okay.
mean, I wouldn't say like I actively watched the show, but like I saw it when I was a kid, and the old host Steve did like that big. I don't know if you've seen the Twitter post. There was a big Twitter post, I believe it was last year, one of the in the pandemic, where the old host Steve reached out to everyone like on a tweet video and like got real with everyone and had a very emotional, like nice message to all the adults that used to watch the show.
It sadly came out January 6th as well, so it was overshadowed by other things. No. Oh yeah, I heard about that. I'm not familiar with the show.
Sure.
I've seen parts of episodes, but this is baby stuff for babies, right? This is
It is
really
the source material is for preschoolers, yes.
this is baby stuff. I didn't really watch the show very much. My sister absolutely loved Blue's Clues.
Oh,
And
we should have had her as a guest.
the most that I'm saving her for Matilda.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I lost my train of thought.
I'm sure she'll thank you. Matilda's a much better movie, I can only guess.
See Matilda?
I've seen Matilda. I haven't seen Blue's Clues.
Oh, that's right.
Nobody's seen fucking Blue's Clues.
Nobody's seen Blue's Clues.
Josh didn't even remember the name of it. It's so obscure.
It's a long title, okay.
But anyway, so the most I've watched of the show was whenever my sister had a birthday party once. She wanted a Blue's Clues themed birthday, and I led them through her little friends a game of Blue's Clues as Steve.
So this is murder mystery shit for babies.
Kinda. You have to
Okay.
find the clues. It's a
Well,
very
no
formulaic show.
spoilers.
No, it's a formulaic show. I don't
Yeah.
know what this movie is gonna be.
Okay.
It was one of the first like TV shows that had like this kind of interaction with kids where they like
He
solved the
talked directly
mystery.
to the camera like
So
he
this
was
is a
talking with
Dora
the
type kind of
audience.
thing.
Kind of, yeah. Pre-Dora.
Even more so than Dora, because I believe in the show they had like children answering him.
Oh, so you could scream at home, and then a chorus of hell children would scream as
Yes.
well on screen?
Yeah,
Yes, that
or
is
he
correct.
because he's like oblivious, so he's looking for these clues to solve whatever problem they establish at the beginning of each episode.
Right, so I've seen less of it. What we do here on the show is the people who haven't seen the movie just give a brief description or rundown what they think it's going to be about based solely on the title. The title, once we finally got to this, is Blue's Big City Adventure. So, I'm going to go first. I know nothing about Blue's Clues other than there's a man who lives in a cartoon house, and every once in a while his dog plays pranks on him and hides things, and he's real dumb. Like, he's oblivious, but the dog is like, we're going to have some fun, and I'm going to film it for everyone to watch so you get rich and famous and income, and I'll handle that. So the dog goes and hides his shit, and then, like, instead of getting caught, like, red-handed, it's blue-handed because this dog is, like, viscous, I guess. It's an oily dog, a blue cartoon dog, but the paint isn't dry, so it leaves paw prints on the shit he hides, right? Or does the dog not hide things? Am I totally off?
I mean, maybe in an episode or two, but they usually leave the clues.
Yeah. Usually it's just, like, it's kind of confusing because some instances it seems like Steve can understand Blue talk.
Oh, the dog can't talk. Okay.
But then in other instances, it seems like the whole reason that Blue leaves the clues is so that he can communicate to Steve.
Okay, so Blue doesn't hide Steve's stuff. Blue is just a better detective than Steve. And Blue finds the clues first and stamps them so they're obvious to us and Steve, the audience.
I guess.
Okay, so something big is going to go missing. I'm going to say the entire city goes missing. Like, New York. And Blue has to, like, go around this... we can't put it... No, this is new. We can't ever put a crater in New York again.
Maybe just the house goes missing.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, he wakes up and, like, there's no house around him.
No, Cartoon World goes missing. He wakes up and his house is in downtown New York City, like the beginning of Up.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, how did I get here? Where'd my cartoon dog go? And his wife is like, Steve, what are you talking about? And he's like, the clues, woman. And she's like, we've been married 20 years. I don't know what you're talking about.
He wakes up in a psychiatric facility wearing a straitjacket.
One flew over the Blue's Clues nest.
Yeah. There you go.
But the dog is animated in, like Roger Rabbit. Okay, that's my guess. This is just bad Roger Rabbit for babies.
It's like that TV show where that dude saw cartoon people talking to him, trying to convince him to do stuff.
I don't know what TV show that is. Are you sure you're not living in a cartoon-esque Roger Rabbit?
Yeah, no. It's like Woke. It's called Woke. He was a cartoonist.
Okay, I do know what you're talking about now. Yeah, okay. Justin... You haven't seen this either?
No.
But you have played Steve in a dramatic reenactment before.
Yes, I have. I'm guessing, I know Steve is in this because...
Well, Steve has to be in it, otherwise it'd just be like the dog.
Well, no, because...
Oh, you're about to learn a lot about Blue's
Clues. There's been multiple people who've lived in this.
There's been more than one Steve.
There currently have been three hosts.
I'm going to call them Steves. Like, I don't care. I'm going to call them the hosts Steves.
They have other names.
Okay, but they dress in the stripey thing?
They dress in similar colored shirts, yes.
Then they are Steves. All right, continue.
Different colors, though. Steve wears the green, one wears purple, one wears blue.
Okay, green Steve, blue Steve, purple Steve. Got it.
Because I don't remember. I think it was like Steve went off to college. And that's why he stopped hosting the show back in the day.
Right.
When in real life...
In the show, he went off to college. Yeah. In reality, he didn't want to be on the TV when his hair was going. So,
yes. Yeah.
You know.
He kind of looks like the main guy in Weezer.
He does a little bit.
So, I like to think that he's in college, and it's like the water boy scene, where he's like, why do crocodiles be so angry? And Steve is like, well, let's ask Blue, and everybody's like...
Blue told me.
Yeah. Blue put a blue clue on the medulla oblongata, and he's like, that is precisely correct, but what the fuck is a blue? All right. Unless anybody else has any guesses or speculations, I think
We should, sure, I got a guess.
What do you got? What do you got?
All right. So, I'm guessing, kind of along the lines of what you were saying, Austin.
Where witnesses a really tragic event and gets a mohawk and draws a gun over and over in a mirror and, like, swears revenge on the pimps of the city?
That's not what you said, but...
I mean, not in those words. You got to read between the lines.
My apologies. I've never been good at that. They're going to end up in the real world. Blue's Clues is very pointedly like in a magical world where most of the objects in the house are animate.
Like, and he's the only real thing, right? Like, Steve's the only real actor in the show?
No. There's, like, sometimes they go to, like, a store, and there's a shopkeeper. The mailman, I think, sometimes came.
Okay, but overall, they live in Toon World.
Overall, yes. So they're going to come to the real world for some reason. And yeah, I imagine, like you said, we're going to meet, we know Steve's going to be in it, and hopefully he's not still in college, because that was a long time ago, but maybe he's going for, like, a doctorate, I don't know.
I have the patient open, and the heart has a blue paw print on it.
Mystery's going to be getting back to Toon World. They gotta find the Blue's Clues. They're gonna play Blue's Clues.
All right, all right. Thanks for wasting a minute and a half on that. No, just kidding. A cartoon has to go back to Toon World. So it's
here's me for doing what we do on the show and giving my guess.
I'm accusing you of stealing my It's Bad Roger Rabbit at this point. No, I appreciate your guess, but yeah. I think something along the same lines. They'll have to solve clues in the real world, which will be kind of scary with these toons there. To get back, Justin, how do you think they're locked out of Toon World? Because I said they just appear there.
I don't think it's gonna be the entire house. I think it's just gonna be the main character in blue, and like all the other characters are gonna be like back in the other place.
Okay. I think it's going to be the whole house, but I don't know. Like I said, I don't know anything about the show, so I'm in for a total surprise.
There's some deep lore to this show.
Really?
There's a lot of deep lore.
Whoa. I
mean, this show has been going on
for a long ass time.
So technically, Blue's Big Adventure is based on the reboot Blue's Clues and You, which started in 2019. The original Blue's Clues series ran from 96 to 2006.
Wow. That's
it's the same continuity, though. It's effectively the same series.
Yeah. Oh, it's not like My Little Pony, where we get a reboot every once in a while with every host.
I mean, G5 is also technically on Equestria, but yeah, Steve and Joe were the first two hosts in Blue's Clues. Then Blue's Clues and You features Josh, Blue Steve.
You're right. Gen 5 is an Equestria because they played with My Little Ponies from Gen 4. It was like a time skip thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Hasbro knew they couldn't leave that universe that quickly. They made too much money.
Tack 1,000 years onto it. Put as much time between them ponies as we can. all right. Well, this is really recent.
This came out in November. It's been out for a couple months. Yeah.
That kind of changes my guess, because I was thinking this was old. This was like late 90s, early 2000s.
Really? That's what made my guess, because I'm basically thinking it's going to be like Dora the Explorer was, but for Blue's Clues.
You're right. This came out after the Dora movie, so the popularity of that definitely influenced this. Are we just going to watch Dora 2, the baby dog version?
I mean, I like Dora 1, so...
I like Dora 1, too. So we'll... Dora 1. Is there another Dora coming?
There was talk of a TV series based off the movie, but I haven't heard anything about a sequel movie.
Works for me.
I would much rather it be another Dora than
Yeah, same
this
here.
big adventure or whatever the fuck.
Tween teen Indiana Jones, I'm gonna say is probably more interesting than baby noir, but I have no idea. Let's find out. Here on Have You Seen? It's like a really jazzy, moody soundtrack, and everybody's got a lollipop in their mouth, and it's raining, and I don't know. There's like jazz singers, and they're shaking rattles instead of using wire brushes on the drum set.
Of all the daycares and all the
That's my
things,
guess. I'm
all the
changing my
things
guess.
that I can care about it.
Yeah, it's a baby noir. We'll be back here on Have You Seen? I'm Austin.
I'm Josh. Wait, we've
Have
already
you
done
guys
this
seen
part.
Groundhog's Day?
Yeah.
I thought I'd
You
do
just use that as a clever way to cut the movie review up. Just paste in the Groundhog's Day review.
it for. Wait, not again. And then I just catch your reaction at the beginning and end, Josh. Boom.
Yeah.
Bingo, bango. Episode done. Oh, this movie broke my brain, guys.
This movie is very scary.
This movie is a secret horror movie.
Secret horror movie.
I would be
Ooh.
terrified if this ha like
This happened.
this is
If this
traumatic.
happened, I
This
like
is traumatic.
that. Yeah? Did it leave you feeling blue?
Gotta put a slide whistle sound effect in.
Oh,
It
yeah.
left me feeling something.
My first note is, oh God, this is for babies. Wasn't exaggerating like I thought I was in the intro. I figured this was going to be for like toddlers, but oh wow, you oof.
So,
I could have been watching a movie, like a real movie. There's lots of them out there. Lots of good movies recently too.
we were kind of wrong, and we were kind of right with our predictions.
It was Bad Roger Rabbit.
There was a
Oh.
moment in Dora the Explorer, Austin. Where, because I remember first beginning watching Dora the
You're
Explorer,
right.
where the
This
way
is
that it
that nightmare
started,
moment.
with the way that it started, and it was like, oh God, I cannot handle a full movie like this. And then it stops, and it like becomes kind of normal. This movie does not have that.
It
And
tried.
it is just
It does kind of follow the same formula. Somebody's leaving the cartoon world, the jungle, growing up and going to the big city to become a Broadway musical star.
Josh, you're the one that keeps up most with the Blue's Clues
I
lore.
mean, I haven't watched it in quite a while, but yeah, I'm the closest information source you've
And
got.
Josh, you share a name with the protagonist, which
Yeah,
means
maybe we
you
should call
are
them Blue Steve so it's not confusing.
Josh.
Blue
Yeah.
Steve. No, because Blue is the dog. This is going to
Oh
get
yeah,
real
that's also
confusing real
confusing.
quick. How
Is
about Movie
this?
Josh and Show Josh?
No, we could just refer to him as Josh. It's fine.
Yeah, we'll
Okay.
know from
So Josh.
context.
So Josh, does Josh
I'm gonna call him Steve. Not Blue Steve, just Steve.
What about Steve?
He can be Steve too. He can be
Yeah, he could be
Detective
Steve
Steve.
and Joe. Steve and Joe can keep their names.
Okay, so Joe was another one?
Yes.
Joe is the guy in the present shop. He is the second host of the show.
That's another question I had. Oh, we're off to a rocky start if I have this many questions right away. But that was a present shop? Yeah,
Yes.
I didn't know what he sold there. I thought maybe it was like a Willy Wonka sweet shop, 'cause he gives him like hot chocolate.
He does.
Was strange. All right. This is a
In a
musical.
very noir scene. But also, wait, I was gonna say.
There's a Steve, a Josh, and this is like Doctor Who.
It is a kind
Kind
of.
of. This is like a Doctor Who holiday special where they all get reincarnated and they're all
It's
like.
blue is the doctor, and they and he it stays the same, and he gets a different companion.
Blue is the TARDIS. And Steve is the Doctor who reincarnates.
Yes.
But go ahead.
I was going to ask Josh, is this movie a send-off to Josh? Is he because it kind of read like he was leaving to me.
I thought so when I first watched it, but I don't think so. Oh, Blue's Clues and You're the Show, he's hosting, is still going, and it's currently on season 4, and it's been greenlit for a 5th season. So no.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I had the same question, and that's really confusing then.
It read that way to me. Right. It's like, well, totally. I'm leaving to go.
I thought maybe one of the old hosts was going to come back, but like, no.
I thought
they were going to bring a new one, because that's what they do. But,
oh,
no,
you mean,
he's just going to keep doing this.
You mean in the literal audition scene, Justin, just like looking for a new host?
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was going to be the girl, honestly.
Why wouldn't it? Why fucking wouldn't it? She's perfect.
Honestly, whenever she showed up and they're like, yep. Oh, you're not good for this, Josh is going to leave and then she's going to be the new one.
100%. That's what I thought too.
But no, apparently not.
But no.
Apparently Josh is like, I ain't leaving this. This is a sweet deal.
He just does this as a side gig, apparently.
Yeah, you can just travel to the real world anywhere you want with your Jigglypuff bus. And oh my god,
Kadoo Express.
Talk about a morning person with this fucking song and dance.
Yeah,
I did not know this was a musical when I first watched it.
Oof.
So that's one of the things that he gave up for his ungodly powers is he has to be positive and chipper all the time.
I'm so glad the neighbor's dog woke me up.
I would say that's how he got his powers.
3 a.m. 3 a.m. There's so many dishes. I love doing dishes. Yeah, just everything. Uh-huh. A burglar. That's really fun. I get to try out my new gun.
The show is not a musical, for the record, Austin.
Oh, really?
Songs.
Like there are songs in it and stuff, but
there's songs in it then. Fine.
Sure.
This movie packs them in though. Like more than the show does.
Alright. Mm. I didn't expect that. Is this house I wrote under a Beauty and the Beast curse?
No, it's blue, obviously.
Because everything is alive. And that raises so many questions like, does he eat in cartoon world? Because when he gets to the real world, he's terrified when he sees people using salt and pepper and mustard. Like, does he not cook? Does he not eat?
He tries to ask all these objects for advice. And if they've seen his handy-dandy notebook.
And after he walks away, they come to life.
That scene where he's walking around asking everybody was like big Dora vibes, right? Where he's just talking to random people like they know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
The thing is that after that scene, Josh, the terrifying thing is after that scene, Blue, or whatever magical power Josh is inadvertently exerting, is like, oh, people don't know what I'm talking about? Let's make it so they do. So then, from that point on, anybody who interacts with Josh knows who Josh is and what he's looking for.
He has a charisma of 300. He asks you a question and you don't know the answer? You do.
There's a scene in the beginning when they first get to New York where he looks around and he's like, I guess terrified by the real world. It's a little unclear whether or not it's like the sounds around him or what. And then like it zooms in his face and he closes his eyes and magic sparkles swirl his head. And then when he opens his eyes and like he literally like syncs with the city and
yes.
Everything becomes a musical and things he talks to turn real. And then eventually, as his power grows, yeah, people just know who he is.
This is a really bad lesson to teach kids that when you're lost in the city, you stand in the middle of the street with your eyes closed. Yeah. Don't go to New York. Yeah.
Just go up to strangers singing about how you are lost and need help.
Also,
finding.
This movie is sucking New York's dick a whole lot. It's like, New York is the best place in the whole planet.
Of course it is. It's a show for babies. Anywhere it's going to go, it's going to suck their dick.
Yeah, sure. Okay. the male song is so big that Kat came out of the bedroom and was like, whoa, this came back to her right away.
I had
never watched the show that much, but I even knew the male song, so I guess that's a real big thing. We cut to Rainbow Dog.
Rainbow Puppy
can talk.
This is a character in the show.
Blue can't talk. I kind of hate Rainbow Puppy.
So in the show,
that's just one of the reasons.
I was not familiar with Rainbow Puppy, and I was like, is Rainbow Puppy something that was made up for the movie?
Kind of seems like it.
It was not.
Okay.
She was a neighbor in one of the seasons of the new show.
Ah. I don't like Rainbow Puppy.
Also, I don't like Rainbow Puppy either, because why the fuck are you wasting everybody's time with these auditions when you know?
You literally mentioned Josh by name during the auditions.
She's the most perfect. You can do it, Josh. Yeah.
You're allowed to just give people parts. You don't have to hold auditions.
Not only did she waste all these people's time, she wasted my time with all these auditions, because she didn't let me see the bad ones, like American Idol, the only part you tune in for, like the terrible ones. They did those off camera.
Shebang. Yeah.
Yeah, wasting everybody's time here, and you can talk. BD Wong is her assistant, and I was like, why is BD Wong in this movie? Turns out he's the director.
Mm-hmm.
So he is literally wearing the multiple hats. Just couldn't stand it anytime they cut to these two. I had more fun when they cut back to the house when Josh left for New York, and like the condiments are sad that he forgot his notebook.
There was one thing that immediately horrified me, filled me with existential dread. Was I do remember in the show when Mr. Salt and Mrs. Pepper, however they gender them.
Are we going to get into it right now?
This
is such a scary thing.
They have a baby.
They have two babies.
Well, they let me finish. Back in whenever my sister watches, I remember them introducing the baby character Paprika.
Four babies, Josh? All right, continue.
Current canon, yes. We'll get to that.
In the show, there's a shot of Paprika, who is now like a teenager.
Okay.
Which is, like, it grew. They have babies and it grew.
Okay.
It had somehow has a backwards hat model with its little metal topper thing, makes it look like he's wearing a backwards hat.
They have a
really
graham
scary.
Cracker smartphone.
But what really set me off about Salt and Pepper, because I don't know the show, so I didn't realize Paprika was related to him, is they're the two babies they had in the ball sack that they were wheeling around.
Sage and Ginger.
Why are they in a ball sack? Why are they in it's a nut sack. It's like a bottom of a peanut for two babies, and it's the weirdest fucking thing I've ever seen.
Didn't catch it. Don't know what you're talking
about. Gotta be somewhere.
Hold on. You didn't catch it?
No. Oh.
Right? That's a nut sack carriage.
It is. It's a nut shell carriage.
I know. It's balls. It's 100% balls.
It's a nut shell. It's nut sack. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's a kitchen thing. That's how they got away with it.
Oh, yeah, it's a kitchen thing?
Yeah.
All right.
It's food. It's a food item.
So when he is a kid and it flashes back to him wanting to be a Broadway star as like a little kid and he's singing and dancing, that kind of made me laugh.
Oh, my God.
Also, was not expecting that. Very scary.
That made me, too, because my notes for that point are like, oh, God, this is... has so many songs in it. How is this going to get worse? And then he turns into a kid that starts singing.
Yeah,
like,
you just need to stop asking that question while you're watching these movies.
I was a little worried it wasn't going to turn back for a while.
Ooh, like a
reverse
Dora?
This is where, there was going to, half the movie, it's going to be him explaining why he wanted to go to Broadway.
Here's a prequel of why I got into B Blues Clues. Yeah, and he's a kid.
How he got kidnapped and lost in Toon World?
By the fraternity of men who talk to cartoons. So no time to pack. The animated bus is here, and I was really scared that we were going to go to a Cartoon New York.
Oh,
yeah.
Could you imagine so
this is
all
called
of
the,
New York?
It'd this be is like, called the Skidoo Express.
There'd be
the
an Express, animated yeah. like gun, and an animated cop, and an animated subway. Everything would be gray. And actually, now I want this. Never mind. It'd be like, the bus is too much like Cars. I wouldn't get in that. That's too scary.
Like imagine an animated New York, but all the people are real people.
Oh,
but everything else is animated.
And they've just adapted to it. I'm walking here. I'm driving here. Like the taxi yells back.
He says, I'm walking here and the sidewalk yells back.
Yeah, and you suck at it or something. I don't know. Real life New York is way better than Cartoon New York once we get to it. I kind of thought it was going to be a gritty noir drama. Like I said, baby detective story in the intro. We get a little bit of that. But
not very much of this movie is them actually playing Blue's Clues.
Which is a game, I guess, where you look for the clues that are blues. They don't give you too much time to spot them before they point them out, which I didn't like. Like, I want a good 5 lingering seconds before they're like, there it is. Because then I get to play along. Like, I'm looking and I'm engaged. Every time one would pop up on the screen, they'd be like, there it is, right away, before I could get to it. And I don't want to play a game where I feel like a disappointment, especially one for babies.
Okay. Well, be sure to make that a note that they should delay it so that there's even more time.
I think the show is a little better about that. Yeah. I was a little surprised they pointed out that quickly.
Well, it's because they needed to get in those cameos of all those little kids at telling him that like I said, because in the show for years, not only unlike Dora, he talks to the audience and they talk back.
Mm-hmm.
So in this movie, now that he's actually in the real world where there's kids, it can just be like, oh no, he's just actually talking to kids.
Hey kids, get away from that strange man who's talking and swinging to nothing.
No. You forget, Austin. He has the power to dominate people's minds. So instead the parents are like, oh, Josh is so great. Look at him and his cute little dog, Blue, and they're talking to my kids.
There must be a radius, like a parent on the other side of the park who's like, why is everybody losing their mind over this grown-ass man singing to our kids? Is this a Pied Piper situation? Is he going to lead them into the river? Like the East River, though? Because he loves New York so much? We get some scary Dutch angles when he's lost in New York. It's
this anxiety scene of like
just a masterclass of cinema.
Mm.
It is a pretty
well shot scene.
If the whole movie wasn't so frantic, yes, it would get across that anxiety really well. But the fact is, the whole movie is just boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, we gotta get three characters in. We gotta get to hit all these beats.
I do like the one cut in the beginning. I really like is when he walks through his bedroom doorway to the living room and he's in his outfit, like a costume change. That was fun. And
that's very much like stuff that would happen in the show for sure.
There's a lot of callbacks to old Broadway too. Like he's doing Dick Van Dyke's Mary Poppins dance in a couple of scenes. He's doing some Fred Astaire. Like, he's doing a lot of callbacks in his dancing, which I appreciate. He's a good dancer, good singer, too.
Yeah. I see, that's what I wanted to know is, that, Josh, have you seen any of the episodes where Joe is the host?
One or two.
Were they focused on him, like, becoming a shopkeep?
I have not seen those ones, no. I'm under the impression it's similar to Steve, where when he leaves the show, like, yeah, he's going to go do the present thing now, and maybe we'll see him occasionally.
Okay. Well, because Steve was very much more into the game of playing Blue's Clues than Josh seems to be. Josh is the guy who likes the singing and the dancing.
This is Josh's quest. Josh isn't on the job. Like, he's not doing Blue's Clues now. He's on a trip, and Blue decided to come. They're work buddies. I don't know. I don't know how the show works.
It's a vacation for Josh, yeah.
I'm just saying, like it seems like whenever I watched the Steve hosted Blue's Clues, there wasn't as much singing and dancing because the guy who played Steve isn't as much of a singer and a dancer.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like, I imagine the new Blue's Clues Josh, like, probably some more singing than the original show. Yeah, because Steve didn't do...
And so... Steve Blues Clues was much more focused on the game.
Right.
There was less song and dance numbers. It was more about...
You gotta think also, it's been 26 years. You gotta mix things up a little bit, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. For sure.
Maybe you don't.
But that's what I was wondering, because, like, in that case, Blue is, like, a really good patron. Like, he gets someone, some adult,
some
that
adult
has
man.
A dream.
Yeah.
Some adult man that has a dream. Oh, and Blue's a girl. We keep saying he. Blue is a girl.
Blue is a girl, yes.
So she, like, gets an adult man and makes them live in the house, solving her clues.
Makes
mysteries.
Them, gives them free room and board.
Yeah, well, but, like, and they eventually, so they get, eventually get their dreams. Steve goes
to
college. You
shall live in my house and solve my clues, but you shall not need to eat.
It's like Saw.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Friendly Saw, yeah.
Yeah.
You have to give up eating for your tenure there. You just...
It's Friendly Saw, but, like, 6 years longer than
yeah.
I saw it.
So all of them are junkies and criminals beforehand?
It teaches you how to do anything that you want to do.
Right.
I'd like to see
Which
that a gritty Steve reboot story where he falls back into darkness and Blue comes for him and they're like, you've abandoned our pact, Steve. You need to come back to the house. And he's like, no,
Follow
I got out.
Food.
I got out.
That's kind of what happens when we get to Steve. Like, not that gritty, but, you know, he's a detective now in the real world New York.
That makes
and,
sense.
And he has this line, which I thought was really funny, that's like, oh, I need like four or five clues now to solve a mystery because I'm rusty and Nick, I haven't played Blue's Clues.
Oh, I didn't know if I should read it that way or if these clues are so like adult and scary that it takes more clues to solve them.
Maybe.
I definitely got it as like, I'm not as young as I used to be kind of joke.
Okay.
Like, I need more clues now.
You know
he does a nod to the adults, which I really... Like where he looks when you show up, it looks at the camera. It's like, oh hey, you've gotten older. You look pretty cool.
I do like his outfit the best
nice.
Too. His detective, his I wrote Dick Steve.
Yeah,
because he has cool detective with that bright green accent. Mm. I was like, oh, he could kick Dick Tracy's ass. Like he looks cool.
He has thinking snacks because he doesn't have a thinking chair.
I like
anymore.
That. That's a really good line.
He still has the handy dandy notebook though.
He does. Yeah.
And the
That's
big green pen.
Apparently in IRL, Steve does have the thinking chair from the original show.
Oh, that's fun.
They gave it to him when he left the show. He says it is very comfortable.
Oh,
as you would expect.
Well, it was a very comfy looking chair.
I think this may be the first movie Drowning in Potential was one of them, but this is one of the movies where I looked at the clock and was like, how much could possibly be left? And I was only 20 minutes in. Like, it hit me
really?
Hard. Yeah. I immediately was just like, oof, I don't know if I can last through these manic bounce-back scenes in the big city and musical numbers.
Oh, I was in the whole time. I didn't look
at
the clock.
It was a pretty loose story. Like, there wasn't a lot happening.
Nuh-uh. He sings at one point in Times Square for like 6 hours because the sun's up and then the sun goes down and he's like, I got to make my appointment at 3. And I'm like, I don't know, buddy.
Yeah, you missed it.
I think you missed it.
The whole thing is that he missed, like, he gets sad because he missed it, but he like meanders the whole time.
The whole movie. He's wasting
long.
Time. The people who are left at home, the salt and the pepper and all the scary other things, they realize he left his notebook and he, as a grown man, cannot function without his handy-dandy notebook.
He doesn't have a phone because he doesn't need one.
I think the notebook is a phone because later they're recording on it.
It is.
They're broadcasting.
Right.
Steve uses it as a phone.
I noticed this really early on that the notebook had a phone camera on the back of it and was like, that has to be new. That's weird. Because everybody's like phone is their notebook, I guess. It's strange. The French refugees come to America and live in the Statue of Liberty's head for a while they look for new Steve, Josh, Steve.
Where did they get this plane? And
I want to say this is movie exclusive.
Oh, the plane that's just in a cupboard.
I don't remember seeing this plane.
Was Mr. Saul a pilot, like in canon?
Maybe.
I thought you were gonna say in his past life, like when he was human.
I feel like I need to watch the entire show.
Don't, just you don't, Josh. Don't.
Austin, just know,
Google it.
We can do Blue's Clues on Amazeballs.
No, Josh. I say yes to so many things, but there have been thousands of episodes of this by now. I feel like you don't need to catch up on it.
Yeah, let me fact check that while Justin's going.
Okay. Justin, he gave you permission to go. No. Whatever you were trying to say. Sorry.
Huh?
All right. So we find our first clue.
143 episodes.
Yeah,
of the
don't do that to yourself.
Series. The new one has 17, 21, 18, and then season 4, which is going. So another like 40, 50-ish.
A fucking dynasty. Oh, Josh, I was gonna have I had a question. Whenever we were looking for the clues, and there was always like people going like, "Oh, it's a clue," and they were telling them it was there. Mm-hmm. One of the only time it wasn't small children, it was this girl who went up to Blue
and was like, I solve lots of mysteries or whatever.
Was that the voice actor for Blue?
I don't know. I tried looking this up and I couldn't figure it out. It must have either been the voice actor for Blue or like a famous detective, like the voice, like Velma or something.
The only thing I could think of is like who this person was.
Well,
and why she was saying, and why she was saying, like, "Oh, I've solved a lot of clues too."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it had to be somebody.
Is like, her name Amanda? Because that's the only person I can find on the IMDb who.
By the way, whoever has been voicing the voice of Blue and been going burp, burp, for like 25 years, great job.
Real trooper.
You won. You got it.
Is a Tracy Page Johnson, and they have been voicing Blue, I believe, the whole time.
Oh wow, that's impressive.
I'm gonna check that while we're.
That's a lot of bow bows.
Tracy, I wonder if they just repeat a bunch of the lines. No, because they say it. Blue says like things along, like whatever Joe's saying, right? They like parrot whatever Joe's saying.
It's very clear that Blue understands people.
Do you remember the agency, the detective agency name?
Blueprints.
Blueprints.
So that was the name of the original show, like the pilot.
Blueprints?
Before they changed the name. Yeah, it's a nod to the old show name.
That's cute.
Before it came out.
Okay. Taboo looks like he's from Santa Fe. I'm not familiar with Taboo or any of his work, but a lot of turquoise jewelry.
I feel really sorry that his brain gets invaded in the way that it does.
Oh, Blue rapping and breakdancing is something that really didn't need to be in this movie. Oh, okay, so what was the second Steve's color?
Purple.
Purple, right? Yeah, Joe. Yeah.
Oh, wow, he's like the Chris Eccleston of this one.
He's the, like,
no, that would be
grittier,
Josh.
Trittier that'd be, host.
That'd be Josh because it like there was the first one after a long cancellation, right?
Nah, I'm not doing it chronologically. I'm doing it like based on their attitude and stuff. Yeah, he's like the one you think is the grittiest, but then he ends up open in a fucking candy store. Chris Eccleston wore a leather jacket, and you're like, oh, this doctor's gonna kick ass, and then he's like, I love to do tap dancing and sing. Like, I know Josh likes to sing, but I get the Eccleston vibe from the second one. He's big. He's got a little bit of tough lookingness to him. There's a giant piano, and then we wind up at a jazz club for kids where they sing. I'm gonna call it a song, but it's just two verses, over like two lines basically, sung back to back about astronomy. We meet another side character. This person, what's her name? She's singing in a wheelchair.
Guessing she's someone from Broadway.
Oh, she plays herself, Allie Stroker. Has a pretty great voice and talks about following your dreams. And this is when I realized we're going to have a lot of people I don't recognize in this movie be inspirational. Like, a lot of current people, I guess.
And then
They must be.
also,
Oh, she's been in. Oh, she's a voice actor, and she's been in the Charmed reboot, Justin.
oh,
She's
okay.
been in all the reboots, Lethal Weapon reboot. She was in Glee for a while. That makes sense. That is a Glee person. I get the Glee vibe from them.
Sure.
So, God, I'm surprised they're not smoking like candy cigars. This is so out of place. This jazz scene. It's like Roger Rabbit when we get the ducks doing the battling piano. Just how
Yeah,
noir
a little
they're
bit.
trying to make it. And no kids get that reference at this point. They're never going to.
There's there they got a nod to adults watching the show.
Even
There's
adults.
for every kid watching this movie, there's at least like one or two adults also
True.
there probably.
Maybe. Unless they're watching it on their fucking iPhone. Here's a note from the directors. When Josh isn't on screen, everyone should be asking, "Where's Josh?"
Josh.
Every fucking scene, we cut to the salt shaker. Oh, where is Josh? I will be trapped in the castle if he doesn't find love by midnight.
I made a note that like Mr. Salt is done with Steve and Joe's normal people shit. Because like every scene, Mr. Salt, and without Josh, he's just kind of like, oh, fuck, get on with it, Steve. Like, we know you're a famous detective guy now. He just like doesn't be in any scene without Josh, apparently.
And then we cut to
He's just.
Rainbow Puppy, and she's like, "Ugh, everybody here sucks. You suck, you suck, you suck, you suck. Where's Josh?"
Where's Josh? Why am I even holding these auditions?
It wouldn't have been as bad if she didn't literally say like, I wish they were like Josh, right? If she just like didn't know Josh was gonna show up. Like, fine, but like they literally dropped like, I want this guy specifically, and I'm just gonna like kick everyone else that comes out
We're
on
not gonna
stage.
hire, we're not gonna do the show unless we get Josh.
And here's another thing about this audition. It seems to have started at 1 or 2 p.m. Josh thinks it starts at 3 p.m. He's 5 or 6 minutes away. He gets there a little after 3, and they're like, "Well, he's not here by 3. I guess we're shutting it down." I think there was a miscommunication, and they were like, "Make sure you get here by 3." And he's like, "All right, I'll be there at 3." And they're like, "No, we should click." Like, he hangs up the cartoon phone, and they're like, "No, shit. That's never mind. That's when we close auditions, but he'll get here."
Well, you see, it's because he communicates with a notebook rather than a phone, so it doesn't get as good as reception, and
Gotcha.
sometimes nothing like that get lost.
I wrote down, "What powers does Blue have?" when the thinking chair appears out of nowhere.
Yeah, that scared me too.
After he
I don't
borrows
know
a
how that
guy's
happened.
buckets that he's playing, and I'm like, "That's
That's
that."
what scared you, not Blue bringing objects to life.
I didn't know what was doing that. He steals this guy's buckets. That's his livelihood. And he's like, "This
Yeah,
is
and he
my
says
thinking
like,
chair
yeah, New
now."
York thinking chair, and then he doesn't use the
And
buckets.
then he doesn't use them. He just tosses them in the river.
Chekhov's
He has no
buckets.
choice but to smile and nod because his brain's been manipulated.
Dragging CGI balloons around Central Park is a level of hell. I couldn't believe this. There's a deflated Blue's Clues balloon that's CGI that is being dragged on the ground around Central Park. And it's so disturbing. I'm like, "Oh, is that his Blue? Because he's like an old Steve. Did his Blue get old?"
Could they not get real balloons for
Could
this?
they not get real balloons? And then
I
when
guess
those
not.
balloons deflated, even the CGI ones, could they not throw them away?
Nope. They
If
have like one day to film in New York.
I'd be like, "Hey, CGI in a trash can, I'm not dragging this fake shit around anymore." It's stupid. So the taxi driver was from Bill and Ted, Josh. And this was not Keanu Reeves. This was Alex Winters. I don't know why. It seemed like he didn't know them. Or he
Alex
kind of knew what
Winter
was up. He was down with cartoons being in his taxi.
been in multiple show multiple time.
Have you seen her?
Have you seen her? He was in Bill and Ted. He was in The Lost Boys.
Yep, a vampire, not an alien.
And this.
Is that all you found on his IMDb? Or I feel like we've done. Huh?
That we've done.
Okay, I figured he might have been in a couple more even.
That we've done? I don't think so.
All right.
Maybe did we do the second Bill and Ted?
No, not yet. He seems like he's way too comfortable with cartoons getting in his car.
You gotta go with the flow, man.
Yeah. I guess in the big city, the best place on earth. You really
plus know. Like also the like rainbow puppy implies that like these creatures
humans are out normal.
Yeah, like nobody's freaking out when they see rainbow puppy.
Now my dream of having a Broadway musical won't come true because the person
wait, is that because Rainbow Puppy
for...
also has powers?
Oh yeah.
Is Rainbow Puppy also manipulating everyone around
yes.
them?
Well they might yes. Just yes.
Subconsciously.
No. They trained for this.
I mean Josh isn't doing it consciously. He's just going around and like things happen.
Josh is oblivious.
Does Steve Josh have money?
I mean, he owns a detective agency, so he probably makes good money.
Sorry.
Yeah, they talk about money.
Josh from Cartoon World at the beginning of this. Does Josh,
oh, okay. Yeah, Josh.
Does Josh have money?
No, I don't think they use money in there.
And if so, is it like animate money with a face and it's like,
hey, kid.
Well, we know everything in his house is animated because the thing
you're going to use me to buy whatever you want.
Yeah, because he takes a taxi, he's going to get screwed when it stops.
Make sure you take me out of your pockets before you put your pants in the washing machine.
He's really lucky that Alex Winter and Chris Eccleston showed up, because they have money. They worked in the real world, possibly. Does Blue give them an endowment, and he's now like, go out into the world and do as thou will?
Well, they get jobs.
Kinda. I think they're fantasy jobs. I don't think he's doing anything. You think this guy's solving murders? You think they're like, ah, oh, shit, we got three sex workers down by the docks with their heads cut off. Who are we gonna get on this?
Like any private eye, most of his work involves taking pictures of cheating spouses.
Hey, I think my wife is screwing around on me with a dance instructor. Can you take pictures of him?
Well, you see, what we have here is a clue!
He corners, like, the really specific New York kid-friendly detective market.
And the it's only, kids like, pay 10... him?
Yeah, they pay him, like, you know, lunch money or, like, allowance.
See? Right? He doesn't have a job, see? And this other guy selling hot cocoa at a bar that also sells balloons? What the fuck are you doing?
Works for the Polar Express.
It's a present store.
It is
a present store. They say it multiple times, actually.
I guess rent was real cheap after COVID hit, so he just was like, I get to open any store I want now.
No, they comment on that too. Steve's like, you can afford this place.
He's like, how the fuck can you afford this nice of a store? He's just like, hey, shut up.
Hey, you get the monthly checks from Blue too, and I don't hear you complaining, dick. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Broadway Theater Building, Josh.
What?
That's where the Rainbow Piano
Stage... Oh, is that the address?
Yes, they say it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Broadway Theater Building.
Of course.
Wow.
Those clues, not very helpful.
No.
Oh, like
I feel like most theaters have a piano and a stage.
Yeah.
Maybe not rainbow curtains, but...
Yeah.
You know what? You know what would have been really helpful? Being like, hey, I'm looking to get an audition. Oh yeah, which one? At a theater. Yeah, the show's being produced by a sentient talking rainbow dog.
I know it sounds crazy, but wait until you meet her. For some reason, you will change your mind.
Josh is really scared because he's in New York. He didn't think that hard. He's terrified without his notebook.
He's on a show that teaches you how to critically think and put clues together.
He doesn't even, like, go get Steve. Like, Steve and Joe canonically are his cousins. And, like, he doesn't even think to talk.
Doesn't even think.
Right? Mr. Salt gets.
That's why he doesn't leave the show to go to the Broadway musical. They're like, you are not ready, buddy. This was your, like, test, and you failed. I'm sorry. Yeah. You aren't ready to go be a Broadway star who identifies clues. The one highlight I'll say about this taxi ride on the way to the Broadway Theater building is that we get to hear the Blues Clues theme done as like a punk rock and roll cover.
Everybody's looking for Blues Clues.
And they're like headbanging.
And they do the whole song.
Damn song. Really padding out the runtime. Because this movie's too short to have three acts, we cram the second act, Despair, right into the beginning of the second half, I guess, and he misses his audition, and everybody cries, and everybody at home is crying along with him. This is a rocky journey. It's all about the adventure, though. Getting all teary. But do it. Just do it, Josh. Go on stage, even though you missed your audition, because
no
you fucked
here.
Around all day, and... And yeah, even though you like got 7 hot dogs, Josh, did you really need that much? I know Blue doesn't let you eat in the cartoon world and it's been a while, but 7 hot dogs? Then you had to find a restroom and there's no public restrooms in New York.
Taking pretzels.
And then you talked to the toilet while you were sitting on it, and that really made it awkward because it came alive and had to, you know, eat your poop. Yeah, it's different here in the real world, and you have the power to make things cartoon. So go up on that stage and touch that piano and touch that drum set and make them all come to life. And
you can play the best song ever.
The one you wrote earlier today with Taboo in the Park. oh, wow. He's even nervous to perform for no one.
In front of nobody.
No one, yeah. And they're like, hey... All those lessons you learned earlier today, why don't you use those? And he's like, wait. Lessons I learned can be used at later events to make things easier? I had no idea. And they're God damn it. Steve, we really have to put him back in the program for like 2 or 3
years. He's never
going
to go to college.
He's not going to graduate, Steve. He's going to be the perpetual Steve. Oh, wow. Because he sings and... You really shouldn't stand on top of a ladder. That's a terrible idea for any kids.
Not with at least a person counterbalancing it.
No, not even that. Even when someone's holding the ladder, there's several stickers. You should never step on the top step of a ladder.
Oh, yeah, he was full on standing.
Full on. Terrible lesson.
Don't do it, kids.
No, don't do it. Also, are you really going to sing the line, make me a magic, that many times? That is a nonsense line. Make me a magic. Make me a magical.
This is a nonsense show.
This is terrible writing for the best song in the movie. Like, the song that's going to change everyone's minds. But it does because Steve takes his notebook cell phone and knows how to use it. And also hacks into Times Square and broadcasts him singing. There's music we hear... But there's no music on stage unless Blue's playing the piano.
Yeah, they are.
BD Wong and Rainbow Puppy see it and come back on stage.
I'm kind of glad they handled this. I was working to hear it in the back of the, like, because they show them leaving, right? Yeah. And then Josh was like, oh, they're going to hear him from, like, the hall and come again. But
they're
no, they didn't
away.
Do that.
No.
They're like a mile away.
And somehow they get back. They must have a cartoon, like, private plane, private jet. She hires him on the spot, even before she sees him. BD Wong is like, that's your star. And she's like, that's my line. You're fired. I've been saying next all day so I can say, that's my star. And you stole it from me, you prick. You'll never work in this fucking town again. I have influence.
Don't you
magical
ever fucking
influence.
Cross Rainbow Puppy. Do you know who my parents are?
No, neither do I. One's God and one's something else. Oh, wow. Rainbow Puppy puts on a production that is just god awful. It's called Happiness is Magic, a Rainbow Puppy production.
Yeah, it's kind of just Josh singing and dancing with nothing else happening.
And then there's a pink puppy on stage?
Yeah.
Magenta. That came out of nowhere. I was like, where's this? Who is this third puppy? Does she? If two or more puppies gather and hear and sing, a third puppy named Magenta shall appear. And only she can bring about the end of times.
Yeah. Magenta is the harbinger of doom.
The magenta bitch.
Magenta is related to Blue, right?
They're a friend from school.
Friend from school.
Blue goes to school?
Mm-hmm. Apparently.
What grade is
Blue? Or did go to school. I'm not sure if it's current or past.
Like puppy school?
Or people school?
Yeah, yes. Puppy school. Jin, you know, Blue's got to learn how to
communicate with people. There is school for dogs, like, in the real world, right?
And in our real world, not just the real world of this movie.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Yeah, this movie's weird.
Uh-huh.
It's the most babyish of the ones that you've made us watch for this list, Josh. But not
possibly in general.
Not the worst. I'd say that this was still better than the Fairly Odd Parents one.
Oh yeah. Sure. I would definitely, like, you ranked Groundhog's Day, I would definitely rank these in order that we watch them. Dora being the best. I'm sorry, not in the order we watch them. Dora being the best, this being second, and Fairly Odd Parents clear loser. Clearly.
That's fair.
And this and Dora, this and Dora are pretty close because they're kind of the same movie.
I don't feel like they're very close. I feel like this is closer to Fairly Odd Parents because this doofus has a cartoon imaginary friend that's magic, and I feel like it's stunted because of him. Dora is like taking charge and like doing shit even when they're in the city.
Yeah. It's definitely the best out of all of them by like a large margin.
Taboo is a member of the Black Eyed Peas.
Really?
That makes no sense based on the way I heard them sing in the movie. But yeah, they've been working with the Black Eyed Peas since their inception in 1998 and are still with them today.
Damn.
They've also been in the movie Taxi, G.I. Joe Rise of the Cobra, Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle, Hot Tub Time Machine.
They always play themselves.
You know what? I didn't recognize them. I thought they may be an up-and-coming star, so I have no idea. Huh.
Yeah, Blue doesn't work with any up-and-comers. You gotta be established.
Did we talk about the spin-off Blue's Clues and You Rainbow Puppy Adventures?
We've not talked about that.
What is that?
That seems to be a spinoff where there's Rainbow Puppy, Blue, Magenta, who wears glasses. I couldn't tell that on the stage in this. And a cat with a cape who kind of looks like a Dracula.
Okay.
There's been a few spinoff series of Blue's Clues in their time. Four video games.
The Blue's Clues Empire.
Tell me three of the Blue's Clues games are on Game Boy Advance, and I wouldn't...
Let me check.
And what's PlayStation?
They're probably all PC.
Really? Not what I suspected.
Let me check. I'm just guessing. Mac OS, Windows... Oh, Humongous! Oh, wow. They did, like, Pajama Sam and, like, Freddy Fish.
Gotcha.
Humongous did the second one, also PC, and the third one... Infrograde, the fourth one, that was they're all PC.
Wow. Okay.
All educational PC games.
That makes sense. Okay. That makes sense. So, gotta do Happy Puppy Dance. There was a post-credit scene. Did you guys see this? Where he's in his pajamas brushing his teeth?
Yeah.
Josh, did you get what this was a reference to? It's a previous movie.
I feel like this is
a pretty overt reference to Ferris Bueller's Day Off at the end of the movie. He's brushing his teeth and he's like, the movie's over. It's time to leave. You have to go now. Like, it seemed too close.
That was time for so long.
And he gave us one last song, yeah. And then there's another song over the credits. There's a lot of music at the end of this. Ooh-wee. There is nothing about this on IMDb. There's no parental guide section. One person found it mildly offensive, it says. and there's no trivia on it either. You guys have provided me way more trivia than IMDb did on this episode. Ooh wee, wow. Would I recommend it? Josh, I don't know. I don't know where you get these from, or why they're a passion of yours. And I'm not critiquing that. You go, girl. You find your passions. You watch whatever Nickelodeon Disney bullshit you want. I watch weird stuff too. This is not something that interests me at all. And I can't recommend it. Like, no, not even if you got kids. I don't like it. I don't like it for me or for kids. It's got bad New York lessons.
Yeah, if you have kids, just watch Bluey.
Bluey?
I hear good things about Bluey.
The fuck is Bluey?
I know a lot of people are talking about it.
It's the new kids show that, like, adults actually like, apparently.
Oh!
Yeah, apparently it's got really good writing or something.
It's got a good art style. I've seen image, like, stills from it.
Yeah, it's from Australia.
Mm.
It's about a dog family.
I watched one that had four kitties in it. Because I was traveling recently, and you know when you're on the road, you just watch whatever weird shit's on cable.
Uh-huh.
And this one had four kittens, and it was like Power Rangers.
Interesting. Not familiar with that. I've seen that with puppies.
Yeah, it was more like the episode of Bob's Burgers, The Equestrianauts, than anything. Because one of them was literally named Tiny, and that was her power. She was small. Justin, would you recommend this movie?
No. No. It wasn't very good.
No.
The pacing was like, it was just, there was nothing happened. Nothing fucking happened in this movie, and it was all pointless.
Is this a first for Justin saying nothing happened in a movie?
Everything they set up was like pointless. Like the whole tension was that, like, oh, he needs to get there for this audition, and like,
he just fucks around.
Who fucking cares? He didn't need to get there for that audition. He had the job already.
Yeah, it wasn't like she... he could have just called her and been like, hey, I'm running late. Cell phones exist in this world. We're in the real world.
There in New York, payphones probably exist still.
Yeah. The mail is still a thing. He got a letter saying come to town. So it's
the letter played a live message, though. Like,
Josh, have
letter.
You seen Babe Pig in the City?
No.
Have you seen Babe?
No.
Oh, shit. We might have to watch those two. This is weirder than Babe 2 Pig in the City, which is an acid trip of a movie.
Wait, Babe's the pig one, right?
Babe's the pig one.
I might have seen the first one, but it's been so long, I don't remember.
We might have to put those two on the list, because the guy who directed...
Charlotte's Web?
Well, hold on. The guy who directed those... did Mad Max Fury Road. He did Babe Pig in the City. Charlotte's Web, sure, if you want to cry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just do a pig trilogy for some reason out of nowhere. Counter your Adam Sandler trilogy with some feel-good porcine movies.
You watch Animal Farm?
I could do, like, the three Homeward Bound movies.
Yeah.
No.
I don't want to go through the trivia for those. That's a dark day. Josh.
Mm.
Why did you recommend this movie to us, and would you recommend it following
I haven't recommended it yet.
I mean, just...
You made us watch it
was my, right. My point.
Right. I seek this movie because I heard about it on Twitter, I think, and I just wanted a nostalgia hit. And I think it gave me that.
Now, Josh, I don't want to put you on blast or anything. You said you watched this as a kid?
Like a older kid? Because this was in like 96, so was what?
That's what I was going to say, is like, yeah. I remember my little sister watching this as a
kid. I was an older kid. It was on like Nick Jr., or and it was one of those things that I would watch like in the morning before school or something. Like, sure. Just that's what was on.
Did you have younger siblings?
Yes, I had a younger brother.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who I believe also watched it with me.
Makes sense.
So would I recommend it today? I think that honestly, I think this movie is only for people like me who remember show fondly, and that's it. And, like, you know, want to remember, oh yeah, it's still a thing, right?
And little kids.
Yeah, I guess little, I don't know that kids would get anything out of this, though, I guess.
You don't think that current kids currently watching Blue's Clues is going to like this?
I think they'd like it, but I don't know that they'd get anything. Like, it's just watch a normal episode. You'd get more
I agree
Blue's
with
Clues.
Josh. I tried to put myself in an infant mindset and just
there was a lot of stuff for, like, the adults in the audience in this movie. Like, all the famous people, just, like, adult call-outs. Like, there was a lot, like, Austin, there's a lot of song and dance numbers that are callbacks. So, like, I'm not sure what parts were for kids.
But this didn't get a theatrical release. This was a TV, like, Nickelodeon show?
It was a direct to Paramount Plus.
Oh, Paramount Plus. Ah, okay.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? Maybe it'll do enough and Blue will get a theatrical release. I'm kind of surprised it hasn't yet, honestly.
Is there some sort of deal between Nickelodeon and Paramount Plus at this time? Like, is a lot of Nickelodeon stuff on there?
Nickelodeon is owned by Paramount.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
So yeah,
Avatar The Last Airbender stuff is coming out of Paramount.
So that's three no recommends?
Mine's like the lightest of recommends. Like, if you like the show, if you like the show, kid, this is fun, I would say.
It makes me hesitant to put classics back on a list, because I'll show you, like, world-renowned movies that have stood the test of time, and you'll be like, I don't know, that guy's suit was brown. Or, and you're like, nope, I didn't believe it.
Okay, to retain my integrity, I'll say that I don't know that I'd recommend this. But I'll recommend it more than the other two, like my other co-hosts would.
What's your ranking of them? Do you agree with the...
Oh, same as yours. Dora okay. Blue.
Yeah.
Dora Blue, Fairly Odd Parents 1.
Dora was fun. It was a lot of fun in comparison to this, especially. Fairly Odd
right.
Parents was still trash.
Well, and Dora was like an older character too, so they could do more with them.
Were they? Was Dora older than Josh?
No. Not older than Josh, but like the, you know,
Josh
Dora was
an
like...
Adult.
Yeah,
right.
This is a
but the movie wasn't aimed at adults, right? The movie's
are you talking
still
about
like,
the age range for the show? Because they're pretty comparable.
Yeah, like the age right? range for Dora was not necessary. Dora's target audience, right? It was also like teenagers, because Dora was a teenager and it was more action-y, and they went like a you know jungle-y locale
yeah.
stuff. It was right.
I actually wanted her to spend more time in high school. This time I was like, just get back.
Well, the high school scenes in that movie were like Mean Girls.
That's why I wanted more of it. Nah, that's exactly why. All right. So, yeah.
Take us away.
I've got a fun, one more fun fact.
All right, save it till
okay,
after I pretend to stop recording. Or no, go
okay,
ahead, do
sure.
it. You can do it right now.
So, the first movie, which we haven't seen, Blue's Big Musical. Movie apparently so Ray Charles was in that the musician and it was their last role prior to their death.
Wow.
It was Blue's Big Musical movie.
And what you say was the relation between that and this?
It's Blue.
Oh, that it's a, Blue? Yeah, it's the series.
Who was the Steve in that? Sorry.
Steve was in it. It was a completely animated movie.
Okay.
It was just Blue and like the house characters.
Weird.
I don't think Ray Charles.
He wasn't animated. It was just real Ray Charles. He took over for a while after.
Oh
Steve
no,
went.
Steve's in it. I stand corrected.
Oh, okay.
Steve was in the first movie.
Yeah. How are you gonna have a Blue's Clues movie and not have Steve in it?
That's scary.
I thought it was some weird like transition. Like, we got to do, like, the internet YouTube series, and we can't get Steve for that for some reason, so we're just going to do this animated CG thing. But no, that's just the cover. Steve's not on the cover, which is weird.
Not on the cover, yeah. I'd be pissed if that was... That'd be in my contract if I was Steve. I'd be like, I'm the one real person in this show. You better put me on the poster. really, really queer-friendly imagery I noticed in this movie, too. There are, not only does he want to go to Broadway, and he's singing and dancing around a lot of construction workers as soon as he gets to New York, very Village People vibes. But there's, like, rainbows everywhere, not just because Rainbow Puppy, but, like, literally everywhere. And did you guys catch this in one scene at Central Park? There's a man giving another man flowers, like, romantically. I was like, good for you if this was... you have to cut that scene out when you show it in China on Paramount Plus. but that's cool. Modern day kids shows, a little more progressive. If you'd like to listen to any of the other episodes we've mentioned in tonight's podcast, you can find them on podcast.com or the Apple Podcast app. Just search Fap Check or Have You Seen with a question mark. Our other shows are Amazeballs, where we talk about TV series anthologies, sci-fi, mystery, horror, comedy. And we have another one, What About Wrestling, where Justin and our friend Nick talk about different pay-per-view wrestling events. You can find us... Yeah, AEW. You can find us on Facebook at FapCheck, FapCheck@gmail.com, and FapCheck at YouTube. Click. I've stopped recording, Josh.
Now it's time.
Hey guys, have you seen?